The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
Boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Oh, God. Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth. Trust us. Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler.
And we're the Good Liars. For anybody that doesn't know who we are, we're two comedians who've been traveling the country for years, attending political events, talking to the attendees there. And we've also been known to prank politicians. And we might be known as the Good Liars, but on this show, we're going to tell you the truth. So on each episode, we're going to dive deep into some big issues, tell stories from our own adventures, and welcome guests from the world of comedy and politics. And today, we're going to be talking about our experience in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, 2021.
Yeah, it was a big day. So we're going to talk about it over the course of two episodes. We're going to start by telling you from our perspective what led up to the events of January 6th. And in episode two, we're going to welcome our friend, MSNBC anchor and reporter Yasmin Vesugian. She's very familiar with January 6th because she was reporting from the steps of the Capitol.
We were there too. Not to brag, but we were there as well.
Right.
This isn't a competition.
But if it was, we would tie.
Three-way tie.
Thousands of supporters of President Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol building.
This is the moment the storming of the Capitol was launched.
It is an absolutely shameful, disgusting situation that we are witnessing.
The demonstrators were urged to go to the Capitol by the president himself.
We're gonna walk down to the Capitol.
It is hard to put into words what exactly we witnessed today because we have not seen this before.
All right, let's jump into it. Let's find out what really happened on January 6th.
So Donald Trump had been denying the election for a couple of months leading up to this.
This is a fraud on the American public. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election. We want all voting to stop. We will win this. And we, as far as I'm concerned, we already have won it. So I just want to thank you.
We are debating whether or not we should go. We don't know if it's going to be a dud, actually. I think that was part of the conversation. Is anything even going to happen? But this tweet here was sent out by Donald Trump. It says, Peter Navarro releases 36-page report alleging election fraud, quote, more than sufficient to swing victory to Trump. A great report by Peter.
Self-published this document that he called the Navarro Report.
Dumb and dangerous.
Protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. Will be wild.
Will be wild. Good.
What did that make you think when you saw that? Did you think that was incendiary?
I thought it was. I have a problem. I am a glass half full type of guy. As far as like society goes, not in my own life. I'm kind of a glass half empty type of guy.
You're also a have it both ways kind of guy. It sounds like.
Yes, I am. But I throughout this whole process, I thought cooler heads would prevail. I thought the Republican Party was going to unite and say, there's no evidence of this. Let's just say goodbye to Donald Trump now and move on as a nation. That's not what happened, though.
Do you remember how sad I was in the days following the election? I remember you were like, it'll be okay. I was like, no, it's not. Leadership and important senators and everything, very few were breaking with Trump. Startlingly few, and nobody was outspoken. I had a bad feeling.
And I was just like, cheer up, Buttercup. It's going to be fine.
You kind of were. So we decided we would go be present on January 6th. And you drove down to D.C. I was already there visiting family. We were deep into COVID at the time. You picked me up. And on January 5th, we went into downtown D.C. to kind of get a lay of the land, if you will.
Yes, it was packed with Trump supporters. There was actually an event that happened the day before where people were giving speeches in the Freedom Plaza. George Santos actually gave a speech that day, if you could believe it.
Hey, Washington.
I can believe it.
My name's George Santos. I'm from New York City. Who here's from New York? There's a lot of you. If you're from New York, you know what they did to me. They did to me what they did to Donald J. Trump. They stole my election.
Who here
comply.
If there's a big fraudulent thing, he might want to be part of it.
He's like, I got to get in on this. I got to get in on this.
Is there a grift happening?
We ended up parking in a parking garage underground and went out to go do some interviews.
First, I had to pee so bad I found a bathroom, which you seemed like...
That's not news.
Annoyed by.
It happens every single time. So if you want to talk about it now...
It's good, though, to mention it just so people kind of get the truth behind...
You got bladder issues.
Everything that we're doing. Some of the truth is that I got to find a place to pee. I'm not going to say it's not an issue.
It's definitely an issue.
Well, it's not definitely an issue. You're not a doctor. You don't know. Could be that thing that it's healthy. Could actually be the opposite of an issue.
Could be the opposite. Yeah, yeah. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go right now.
Gotta go. I have got to go now. Stop!
If an overactive bladder makes you go and go and go.
I remember very specifically a couple people that you talked to right away. One of them was dressed up like they were a knight, like wearing armor. Do you remember this? And they had like a plastic knight hat.
Yeah, but he had like a wooden sword, I think.
Yeah, it was weird.
He was dressed like a kid dressed as a knight.
They were like cosplaying The Election Was Stolen, and then knights somehow involved in this thing.
Yeah.
He was there with his girlfriend, which I thought was just sweet, but also sad.
Right. Babe, you think The Election Was Stolen? Okay, good, you do, because I have this whole date planned out. We're going to go there. We're going to hang out with all my friends. Just make sure you dress for it.
It was a cold and rainy January 5th, and you talked to some people around the Freedom Plaza, one of which ended up on an FBI wanted list.
Yeah, but it's nice to be wanted. It's nice to be cared for, you know? A lot of us don't end up on any lists.
We did some interviews. We did some bits. We were big on the bits back then.
Yeah.
Talked to some people. We got the feeling something bad was going to happen because people were saying, tomorrow's 1776. We're taking everything back tomorrow. It felt like it was not just going to be a Trump rally where people are going to listen to Trump and kind of applaud.
Right. Still, though, I would say we didn't quite understand the gravity of what would happen.
I think at that point, yes. But once it got dark, for the first time, I started to feel not safe in the city.
Yeah.
I remember we checked into our hotel. We were staying at the Yours Truly DC, which is a very...
nice hotel.
Swanky hotel. It's a kind of a hipster hotel.
It was kind of funny. Like, we're in this hipstery hotel, and it's just like combat boots and MAGA hats everywhere. Felt like kind of two worlds coming together in this bizarre way, and everyone being kind of like polite to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you first and all this stuff, but...
Yeah, bulletproof vest, but being like, oh no, you got in the elevator first.
Yeah.
No violence till tomorrow for me. Sorry. Wait, that's right. Tomorrow. We're not going to do that today. After checking in, we wanted to get dinner. So we went out looking for a restaurant to eat in DC, but all of the restaurants in DC were boarded up.
Again, signs of things to come.
Yes.
I remember specifically there were boards on all the restaurants, and one of them said 1776. And we were like, wow, it's pretty dark stuff. And then we're like, oh no, that's the address.
We start looking for a restaurant, and then our plan is to go back to the Freedom Plaza. As we're walking, there is probably like 10 to 15 militia guys on walkie-talkies. And as we would pass them, they would be like, shh, 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 there's two guys walking. They're wearing masks. They're walking down whatever street towards whatever street. And then a block later, there'd be like another six, like militia Proud Boy types, who would be like, oh, I see them coming here.
Almost everyone was, you know, some sort of Trump supporter or a regular person in DC who was like getting home. I don't think they needed to be doing that for any other reason other than to say like, we brought enough people to kind of take over. It was just like a strange like show of power. We saw like one National Guard bus, I think, but no National Guard members around it. It was, they had really taken over the entire city.
So we make our way to the Freedom Plaza and we can hear the voice, a very familiar voice, booming, echoing through the blocks. It's Alex Jones. He's giving a speech.
So they're talking about getting liberty or getting death now. It's a little bit scary.
We commit to Christ and we commit to war against the globalists. with the truth, and we will never surrender.
This was the first time it felt like Hitler giving a speech. There's just the way he sounded, his screaming.
Right, and thousands of people around screaming. No one saying, hey, this feels a bit weird, right? Everyone fully on board. And it was dark and cold, and it wasn't well lit enough. It felt like really wild. It was like anything could be happening in this crowd of angry, angry people. So we're there at the Freedom Plaza, and a lot of people spoke there that you might know. Remember that guy, Ali Alexander? Didn't he speak there?
Oh, yeah.
Stop the Steal.
My good friend, he's a huge reason that this is happening to Washington, D.C. Ali Alexander! Stop the Steal! Stop the Steal!
He was on the run for a little while after January 6th. I don't know what he's up to now.
This guy, a fellow Jan Sixer, January 6th homies. I like it.
I was the person who came up with the January 6th idea. The past 2 years, everyone's like, where you been? Where you been? I'm like, I've been staying out of jail.
And then, of course...
Now Roger Stone's coming up. He did nothing wrong, is what they're saying.
Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Leave Roger Stone alone. Sing it. Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Leave Roger Stone alone. Price and Gray.
Roger Stone, he did nothing wrong. To the FBI, need to press me back away in his home. I guess that was a demonstration of intimidation.
Sing it.
I think that's a bit amazing. The humiliating is the witch hunt. They said he lied about the email.
Welcome back to the show, Bryson Gray.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
What does CCG stand for?
Christian Conservative Gang.
Ooh.
I know that whole thing now. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's well written. It was perfectly danced, I would say. Honestly, if there was a bright spot in that night, I think it's obvious.
Sing it.
10 out of 10.
This is like the epitome of Trump. It's corny, it's tacky, and it's fascism. It's like corny, tacky fascism.
Right.
All of those are all in there, like mixed in the stew. We listened to these speeches and heard the songs, and we kind of laughed at the Roger Stone thing. Like, I mean, you have to. It's ridiculous. He's dancing on stage. Then he gives a speech talking about how he's like, was a political prisoner or whatever, and he'd just been pardoned by Trump or whatever.
And my hat is off to the president, the greatest president since Abraham Lincoln, who had the courage to correct this injustice.
So after we hear these speeches and in songs, we go back to the Yours Truly DC.
We went to bed, and we start to feel like these vibrations and hear this bass, and then like the guitar kicks in. And we're hearing this music, and at first I think we're thinking maybe it's just one room, it's right above us. This kind of music is coming from multiple sources, like on our hotel floor, and it can be described as nothing other than like pre-battle pump-up music.
They're like, we're taking it back tomorrow. We're screaming, we're angry, we're so mad. But no, they were literally like...
It's like what Marines might listen to before they're like, going into like behind enemy lines, hopped up on adrenaline,
yes,
type of music.
And those, like you said before, these are the nice people who are like, you first, you first. They were screaming at the top of their lungs, let's go, baby, for Donald, baby.
Well, I think you and I both know, you know, you're on a trip with buds, you get a few Coors Lights in you, maybe a couple of cigarettes.
Ooh, puff them.
Yeah, you start to think maybe the election was stolen. That starts coursing through your little veins. Got your walkie-talkies strapped to your backpack. Like, you feel like you're really going into battle for your guy, Donald Trump, here.
Hey, Bryce, do you mind keeping it down in there? We're trying to get some sleep here. I know you're excited about tomorrow, but... Oh, sorry about that. You guys could hear that? I'm so sorry.
Eventually, we, like, got some sleep.
I do want to say...
Yeah.
Before we wake up the next morning, I want to say something. This is a personal story.
Okay. Do you want me to leave? Let me get out of here?
Yes, please leave.
Yeah.
This is between me and we're going to cut it. I don't even want anyone to hear this. It's just for me to say it out loud. As we were entering Washington, D.C., I saw a text from my mom that said, I really hope you're not going to D.C. tomorrow. And I felt very guilty. But at the same time, I wasn't going to D.C. tomorrow. I was there at that point. So I didn't necessarily need to lie to her and say...
A little bit of a technicality there, right?
It's a little bit of a technicality.
Yeah.
But then that night, as we were going and looking for a restaurant and feeling very unsafe because of the Proud Boys and the militias that were raiding on each other, I got a message from my father that said, if you were in DC, leave. Obviously, he anticipated there was going to be some violence.
He may have also anticipated the technicality, the lack of communication. he might have anticipated, like, a little more than you realize.
Looked at the wording of my mom's text and be like,
there's a way around this.
This is not going to do, though. If he's there,
this is not bulletproof.
But here's the thing. We were already there.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Leave?
No. Well, I hope you've mended your relationship with your...
Have not talked to them since. I never responded to the text. Literally have not.
Never responded. That was it.
Left my parents on read, unfortunately.
Oh. Sometimes you got a ghost. So we went to sleep eventually, right?
Yes.
We woke up and the morning was January 6th. And the first thing we did is, like, let's talk to some people, right?
Well, first things first, always. Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee.
Don't even talk to me until I have my coffee. Don't talk to me until I have my coffee. That's the name of the game, so do what I
want and how I like, then blame it on a hot drink. Don't talk to me. So we waited in line at the coffee shop at the Yours Truly DC with a bunch of Trump supporters in tactical gear. And behind the counter was like a giant flag that said Black Lives Matter. And it was very interesting to watch all these Trump supporters.
Yeah, nobody had anything bad to say about it. It's like such groupthink. It's like when they are within themselves and being talked to by each other, it's like this dangerous concoction. But they're just like people with manners.
right.
Getting coffee in the morning. And we said the streets felt crowded, felt chaotic the night before. That was nothing. This wasn't just a few blocks around the Freedom Plaza. It was everywhere.
Yeah, it was everywhere. And it was like, it almost reminded me of, like, we've been to the March for Life a few times now. They bus people in for that. People are getting bussed in for this.
Right.
You had families coming to it, you know, which is crazy to think about now. But lots and lots of people coming in there. The streets felt packed. There was like an energy to it. Not a good energy, but there was an energy to it.
We were kind of doing some bits throughout the morning, not knowing how serious the day would necessarily get. It's funny to look back on this and realize this is what we felt that we wanted to spend the morning doing.
For Donald Trump?
Yeah.
You might like Scientology. Have you thought about it? It's just like Trumpism. It's a cult. Want to join a cult? The Xenu is a galactic warlord. It's similar to the election fraud stuff. We have to take his word for it on faith. The election conspiracy theories are the same thing as like Xenu and... What do you know about it? Were you in it? Did you get away? Go by the church and just say, hey, I'm a Trump supporter. And they'll be like, I gotcha.
As long as it's the church,
yeah,
I'm very interested.
So you converted somebody to Scientology there. Way to go.
Yeah. So January 6th wasn't the only bad thing to happen on January 6th.
In that case, religion might have saved his life if he was going to try and, like, break down a window and climb to the Capitol.
Oh, he was busy at the church doing an audit session.
It would probably start with a stress test, but yeah.
Which is an auditing session.
It's kind of an auditing session. They're using an e-meter.
Right.
But, like, I don't know that they call it an auditing session. I just want to get the terms right.
We should get it more into Scientology on another episode. We've been there a handful of times.
We're not bragging. You know, we were at January 6th, and we've been to the Church of Scientology a lot of times. It sounds like we're just bragging right now.
Yeah.
These are just facts, okay?
But they're very cool facts.
Yes. So we talked to some more people, and there were, like, the bus station there in D.C., there were, like, lots of people getting dropped off. Big groups of people coming out, and we started talking to some of the people there, and I saw a woman that had a Ted Cruz sign, which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
Because, like, somebody, like, made fun of his wife, called his wife ugly.
Oh, that was Trump.
Oh, Trump called his wife ugly?
Oh, yeah, when they were doing the, running for the Republican nomination.
And then he
yeah.
said his dad killed JFK?
Oh, yeah, okay.
He did say that,
that's
right?
That's what he did say, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but now he's supporting Trump.
Yes, that's the kind of man he is.
That's just the kind of man he is. Talk about a legacy.
So for people watching right now, you can see that I'm holding a jar full of balls, which is a bit that we, like, planned to do.
Wow.
We had a bit that was like, we want to give him balls because he's not standing up to Trump and he's going to vote against the certification of the election to support a guy who, like, called his wife ugly and insulted his dad and blah, blah, blah. And I had a realization today when I was thinking about the podcast and I was walking. The Ted Cruz balls thing is like a tired joke. Not because it's a tired joke to say that Ted Cruz doesn't have balls. It's because it is the status quo. The status quo is that Ted Cruz doesn't have balls. Mm. Everyone knows he doesn't have balls. You can't like draw attention to that
right.
because it doesn't mean right. anything anymore. Everyone knows that he is spineless.
Well, ballless or spineless?
I didn't want to say ballless. You know, the balls thing, it's, you know, it's a little crass.
It's a little crass if we're being honest. And that's why you're holding a jar with two balls in it.
Around the time Trump was coming on stage to that Lee Greenwood song, DeVrom had an interview,
mm-hmm.
which was like the kind of the interview, at least from us, from January 6th.
I'm here on January 6th in the biggest gathering of losers in Washington, D.C. in a long, long time. Here's one now.
Okay, I'm going to have you take one of me. Yes, sir.
What would you say to Donald Trump if you were talking to him right now?
I'd say you're the greatest president of our lifetime, and I'm 65, and I've seen a lot going on that is so false and fraudulent, it sickens me, and I will die standing in my boots as a patriot for this country. If this goes wrong, it's not gonna be good.
There you have it.
Man, that guy, it kind of like summed up the day a little bit, right? It was like this guy talking about dying in his boots.
Yeah. It didn't seem like an empty threat because he was wearing boots. So
he was wearing boots. DeVrom, with that video, do you have any regrets with it?
Regrets. I guess the intro's a little bit rude.
In what way?
Biggest gathering of losers.
Oh, yeah, the losers, calling him a loser. Yeah.
But, you know, this group of people would go on shortly thereafter to storm the Capitol to stop the peaceful transition of power. So it would be hard for me to regret it.
Spoiler alert. Jeez Louise, DeVrom.
Yeah.
You felt a little bit like maybe wouldn't have called them losers, but also like that was the moment.
They would go on to be a big group of losers. They would prove that correct, even though I wish I hadn't prejudged.
So after we heard this guy talk about dying in his boots, on the way back, we did film one more bit, which is kind of surreal to think about because it was happening while Donald Trump was giving this, unfortunately, historic speech. And we're going to talk about that experience on Hero Hero. herohero.co/thegoodliars. There's going to be a bonus episode on there talking about that experience. So please join us over there on Hero Hero.
Yeah, you could win $1 million if you join us over there.
Well, I think for legal reasons, I'm going to say that's not true.
Okay.
But yes, you could potentially win $1 million, totally unrelated to that.
For legal reasons, not true. So we decided to get out of town, as we do sometimes. We leave before Trump speaks. This was no different. And because things started to feel like they were getting out of hand or that they might get out of hand, we started to head out of town. We got the car. We're heading out of town.
On the way out on Constitution Avenue, we saw a sea mm-hmm. of Trump supporters walking from the Ellipse, where Donald Trump was giving his speech, to the Capitol. And DeVrom, I remember turning to you and saying, what the hell is going on? Why are all these people going to the Capitol? Did Donald Trump tell them to go there? That would be insane.
After telling the crowd to march multiple times, he promised he would be with them.
We're going to walk down and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down to the Capitol.
Such a man of the people. So we went and we started walking a couple blocks to the Capitol, walking up and walking past about like 12 Capitol police officers who were just kind of like leaning against the barricades, like chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And we could see that like something was going on. There was like an angry, angry mob.
Yeah.
And looking at these guys just kind of like shooting the shit. There's a mob there and there's like fighting going on between the Capitol Police at the steps and these Trump supporters with their flags, you know, like hitting them with the flags, like really just like kicking the shit out of these police officers.
Unconscious.
We need weapons. We need strong, angry patriots to help our boys. They don't want to leave.
I thought, like, we've been to protests. We've been to places where crowds have gathered. And it didn't look like too dissimilar to that at first. But then you kind of are like, oh, someone's like swinging something. Oh, someone is like these people are running at the, oh, this is different.
Yeah, I felt really bad for the Capitol police officers, like the front, literally the front lines there, because they were really, they were punching, they were hitting them with flags. Like it was like you were seeing people like laying punches on their faces and their helmets getting knocked off and all this stuff.
You're saying you feel bad for them? Like it's kind of like, I normally don't feel bad for cops.
No, I'm not saying that.
These fucking cops.
I mean, like,
is that what you were kind of saying?
That was not what I was saying. I was saying I did feel bad for these people. As people, I felt bad for them.
I agree.
Because you're just watching somebody trying to do their job and get beat up.
We were standing kind of at the back of this, not huge, huge crowd, but, you know, a couple thousand people, because the other side of the Capitol was where the main crowd had gathered. This was the spillover, but I think they saw their opportunity here. There were like some fewer cops.
I felt like this is where a lot of the militia guys were, judging by their like camo outfits, their little costumes they were wearing. I thought it was very cute that they all wore that, by the way. I thought it was darling.
And embarrassing, though, a little bit. You wear the same thing as the other guy, same day, same outfit.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is what we're talking about. Like we see Trump flags and groups of people often, but if you kind of looked at the line of police officers, you realized things were getting pretty bad.
And then I think it was after 5-10 minutes that we were there, the crowd actually like broke through. This is a video that I took with my cell phone. That was really fucked up. It was really, really fucked up.
I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how bad it would have gotten if they hadn't been praying for the blood of Jesus? How bad this could have gotten?
That was the eeriest part of that. For those of you that are listening, that is a woman. You could hear her. They had set up a little stage there. They were like Christian religious people. I don't know where they were from.
Organized Christian religious people with a little stage and like a little PA system ready to jump into action.
She was, you know, chanting, in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus covering this place. You hear them like over these screams, flashbangs going off.
You know what those screams are, right? Well, it's incels finally feeling
human contact. They're like,
yeah,
first time they're touching another person. They're like,
I'm in a crowd of people. It's the blue balls. It's incels with blue balls.
Oh, the blue ball. Wow. Yeah. Way to bring it full circle. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
That woman chanting and all the people with their hands in the air, like this is like a religious experience for them. It was a nightmare. It was literally like being in a nightmare, because not only did you have like violence in front of you, you had the fear of like getting shot because you thought these Capitol Police or the militia guys or whatever were going to pull out a gun and start shooting, because that was like the next step.
It was almost remarkable that it did not happen. A crowd of people attack a bunch of armed police officers. It was remarkable that, as bad as it was, that it wasn't worse. And also, we know people were armed that day. We know Trump had the metal detectors and things removed from his speech, not wanting to turn people away who were armed. We know that they were, and we know the police officers were. It was feels like it was so close to being even worse.
We're seeing them break into the Capitol, like get inside of the Capitol. We don't know what's happening there. We don't know what's happening on the inside. Our cell phone service is terrible.
It's looking pretty friggin' radical to me.
We are in the main dome right now. We are rocking it. They're throwing grenades. They're freaking shooting people with paintballs, but we're in here.
God bless and Godspeed and keep going.
Get it, Jess. Do your shit. Everything we fucking trained for.
Took over the Capitol. Overran the Capitol.
We're in the fucking Capitol, bro.
And then, as we're on the side, there's a group of like 8 Trump supporters who saw that I had the microphone in my pocket. And they started yelling fake news at us. They approached us and kind of formed a semicircle around us. We're kind of yelling at us for being the fake news. Luckily, as they had formed this semicircle around us, a flashbang went off and everybody turned around and we kind of looked at each other. We're like, we're getting out of here. This is crazy. We started walking away. We see, it looks like a military looking guy and a cop, strong as you could ever imagine, just the strongest, toughest looking dudes. One of them is crying, like tears coming down their face, that they've like lost control of the whole situation there. I don't know if he was Capitol Police or DZ Police or what.
He was crying and like he was like calling for backup. And it was like a joke at this point. Who was spare? Where were the spare cops? And so he's just frantically calling for backup because like being there live, you don't have the benefit of having any time pass, knowing what's going on inside at all. I think he thought, and rightfully so, that just like a bunch of his buddies were just being torn apart inside the building.
Right.
And they kind of were. So, yeah, pretty kind of sad, surreal thing.
It sucked.
It did.
It was a shitty, shitty day.
We eventually got in the car, and we couldn't leave. You know when you're at January 6th and you just want to leave? Between the construction, the crowds, the police, we kept missing the turn to leave. And we had to drive back by the insanity like 3 or 4 more times. Like, get us the fuck out of here.
It was like Truman Show, somehow like going in a circle.
Finally, we got to a pizza place. I pulled out my very small amount of money from the stock market. I was like, I don't know. I have no control over anything right now. Like, everything feels like it's totally out of control.
Sell my Apple stock.
Like, everything's going shit. I just watched our most important government building be overrun by supporters of the current president.
We're sitting there trying to dump footage and just like wondering what the hell is happening. Did senators die? Did it work? Is Trump going to like take over the military now? Like what is happening now?
I kept having this feeling at some point there's going to be a moment where someone is going to have to say no to Donald Trump.
Well, it turned out Mike Pence had already done it.
It was Mike Pence. But it was like this is going to happen at some point because Donald Trump is not going to it wouldn't be consistent with his personality to admit that he lost.
Let's go. But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say Congress has certified the results without saying the election's over, okay?
I dropped you off. I drove back. I had the lonely drive back to Brooklyn. And I think for like about a month, 2 months after that, I would like wake up in the middle of the night with like nightmares from it. Not every night, but occasionally. And the scene of like the ladies saying in the name of Jesus and the flashbangs and like the people storming and the people forming the semicircle around us, like it all kind of would replay in my head and I'd be like, this is not good. This is a little bit of the old PTSD, as they say. And we weren't even like in the shit of it.
My version of that was just like watching endless news, needing information, needing to know what was going to happen, like trying to process.
I want the truth.
Why? So you can put it down in your little report? I don't think you're ready.
Do you swear to tell the truth?
You just have to trust me.
You wouldn't lie to me, would you?
No, I need to know. I need to know the truth.
And the truth shall set you free.
See? It's better to tell the truth, even if it is uncomfortable.
Let's have a moment of truth here, DeVrom. January 6th. How do you rate January 6th? Was it a great day for you? Was it a bad day? And you can throw the 5th in there, too. What do you think about the whole experience for the insurrection in D.C.?
Thinking back on it, our, you know, day and a half there, everything we experienced, it will go down in history, to quote Trump, as a wild, wild day. The hordes of screaming people, you know, the crying police officers, just truly, truly unforgettable. I would give it a 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10. Okay, that's not a great score.
It's bad for the country, but I would say that couple of points are because I got a story out of it. I have a memorable moment. That's what life is, a collection of stories.
So it would be a 0 out of 10 if you didn't have the personal story to say, I was there.
It's just about like, this happened, 2 out of 10. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I would give it a 3 out of 10. Everything you said, but I'm going to add a point for the Roger Stone song, which I still kind of like.
All right. And as we're all expecting, sing it.
Roger Stone did nothing wrong. Leave Roger Stone alone. Bryson Gray, he's Roger Stone. He did nothing wrong. With the lot about the emails.
I thought you said you knew every word.
I do know every word, but I was trying to abridge it.
Got it.
That was our experience in D.C. on January 6th, a truly unforgettable day that hopefully we don't have a sequel of, but we'll see. America loves a sequel.
We're also going to talk to MSNBC reporter, anchor, and friend Yasmin Besugian about her experiences on January 6th, where she was reporting from the steps of the Capitol.
That's right. And if you join us on Hero Hero, herohero.co/thegoodliars, there will be a special bonus episode that you can only get there at Hero Hero. So please join us there. Before we go, DeVrom, any words of wisdom?
Be patient with yourself. Nothing in nature blooms all year.
Wow, that is true? Is it true?
I don't know if it's technically true.
All right, thanks for joining us on The Good Liars Tell the Truth. Take care.
The Good Liars Tell the Truth is produced by Aaron Mason, with new episodes releasing every Tuesday. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to us at thegoodliarspodcast@gmail.com.
USA is a joke, is he right? USA.